Hey, everybody, it's Joe Trippi, and welcome back to That Trippi Show. This week, we're continuing our deep dive series, this time from Iowa, where our special guest is, well, it's me. I'm on the ground in Iowa right now. A few recent polls have Democrats very close at some key races here, and I wanted to give folks an update from the ground. So, Alex, where do you want to get started?
So, Joe, got to ask, why are you on the ground in Iowa right now, man?
Well, I kept hearing that Grassley was in trouble. And look, I know this place pretty well. I've over the last 40 years, I've spent more time in Iowa than just about any other state in the country, including running some races, state races here, not just presidential campaigns, but the Democratic nomination for governor once. Anyway, I know the place really well and wanted to get a sense of it myself. And so, you know, yesterday, Alex, I actually went and knocked on doors in Clive, Iowa, talking to voters. The amazing thing was, look, a woman named Brittany, you know, was training volunteers. So I wanted to see what that was like. And I went to that. It was Cindy Axon's campaign here.
Yeah. So that's right outside of Des Moines, right?
Yeah. It was out in Clive, Iowa, was where we were walking. Amazing operation, really talented people training up volunteers. Volunteers had tremendous energy. And you could just feel that with that one, it's tight. I mean, that, you know, we'll get to that in a little bit. But it's clear that Iowa's turning into a real battleground in a way that, you know, may surprise people on election day. It's also clear to me that Franken is the real thing, that the race really has tightened here for the Senate. And so, like, I just wanted to get a feel from the ground so I could report back to folks and actually start to see if it, you know, so now Doug Jones, our senator from Alabama that you and I helped get there in 2017, he's coming in to Iowa on Tuesday. I'll be joining him and we'll be campaigning. I'm going to watch him do the campaigning and give speechifying with Franken, but I'll have a better handle on things is with some rallies that are going to happen Tuesday and Wednesday, I think. So, but so far, I can report this thing is getting close out here.
So, how much of it? And Iowa, like you said, Iowa's basically a home game for you. I mean, you've worked for Tom Miller, right? I mean, so many presidential primaries.
Don Avenson. I mean, there's a bunch of them. Look, I've done, you know, right. Starting out, I ran Jones, Iowa, Jones County, as a $15 a day organizer. Back in, you know, gosh, got almost 40 years ago now. I ran the state for Mondale when we won it. We got 49%. And got, I think Gary Hart got 19, took second, and then that fight kept going. I won the, was working for Gephardt when we won Iowa.
That was the Hyundai ad, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we did the Hyundai ad. I think I've thought about this. My worst finish here in a presidential was third place. You know, sort of, I'm talking about when I was like the top strategist or the campaign manager or something like that. When I was the $15 a day organizer, I took second in my county, but it's not quite the same thing. But I know that, I mean, I just feel like I know the place pretty well and I love it. I mean, I've got to be honest with you. You know, I know people have problems with the Iowa caucuses, et cetera, but I just think that I enjoy it every time I come out here. And so, it's not stunning to me that Franken could surprise. The people here are, you know, it's about, they'll listen to any candidate. You do it a few people at a time. It's not a place where you're doing, you know, 50,000 people rallies, that kind of thing. I don't know what kind of crowd Trump got here when he came in, but, you know, over the years, but that may work. But I think this is more a place where someone like Franken particularly can do well and is. So we can get into the, I know you want to talk about the Seltzer Pelosi too. So let's get to it.
Well, one more thing. And I think this is a good point for a lot of people to understand. Do you think, and we can talk about this in the context of the poll, how much of it is that Iowa is also a place where organizing still really matters as opposed to just slamming a ton of money in with, and obviously paid media helps, but you look back at some of the famous finishes in Iowa, and it was pretty much all because they had organized. I mean, even like Ted Cruz, who, by the way, won Iowa in 16, right? Which is obviously very much against the grain, but he organized.
No, that's the thing here is that, I mean, I think that's probably why I like the state so much is that, you know, I came up as a lot of people forgot this about me, about how I came up. And I came up as a, you know, like I said, a $15 a day organizer in Jones County, which is a really small, you know, county in Iowa. And it is, it's about organizing and message. But even the message, it's not so much what happens on TV, it's what happens in people's living rooms and in coffee shops and union halls, community centers, and college campuses, when all the candidates are moving around. I'm not sure Grassley, I think 89 years old, is barnstorming the state like Franken is, and like Senator Jones will be with him Tuesday, Wednesday, I think Wednesday all day. So, you know, I think that matters a lot. I think that's what was so impressive yesterday when I was walking in Clive, not that I was going door to door for the first time, like I think in 5 years, but I did it. I wanted to see what people were saying at the doors and get a sense of it. But the organization that and the skill set and the app that they're using to target, you know, which doors to go to is pretty cool. So it's all good. If you're in Iowa and can help, join up with Franken or Axne or one of these candidates, and we'll talk about them in a few minutes, where the fights are. But it's real. And the one thing I would say is TV, now having been on the ground here, it is clear to me. I mean, you know, Alex, you and I saw this in Alabama, just how poisonous the branding of the Democratic Party can be from the right. And it's amazing to me, every single ad from every, including like down to county commissioner, is talking about the Democratic Party left, radical left agenda, which bringing from California, teaching critical race theory in our schools at 5 years of age, boys in our daughters' locker rooms competing against girls in athletic competitions. It's like, it's every single one of them is doing it. So like, you know, you go, there's no such thing the other way. I mean, a Democratic candidate might be talking about how their opponent's position on abortion, on banning it or something, but there's no kind of like, you know, like what we do in the Lincoln Project, sort of brand the other side. The Democrats just don't do that, you know, as it, in one voice across all these races. That might be benefiting Franken a little, because he just, I think he in particular, it's tough to make him be the, like Doug Jones, make him be the, you know, the radical leftist, just because of his persona, being an admiral, et cetera. And also, I think in his case, his opponent, you know, Grassley, it's not just an ideological, who's the biggest demon on the ballot kind of race, but it's time for change and new fresh thinking. You know, give Grassley the gold watch and get Franken in there. So there's lots of things that are working differently in that race. But when you look at, it's just seeing the same lesson that I've seen, that you and I've seen many times, and why I'm glad in several places where we're working with the Lincoln Project, they're in there with their hard hitting, defining messages against and branding the MAGA cult election deniers. There's none of that really going on here. I mean, and I'm talking about the candidates here are not doing that. I think in a way, maybe running against their opponent, they're saying their opponent's agenda is bad for Iowa, but they're not connecting them to the MAGA cult extreme in the way that they consistently across the board define Democrats as leftist radical agenda to destroy, you know, America. It's kind of fascinating to be actually, obviously, you know, I've seen it before, but to be here for a couple of days and just sort of notice it really clearly here in Iowa, how effective that messaging is against Democrats, and how the Democrats were not as good as the Lincoln Project and others out there, which is why one of the reasons I joined the Lincoln Project. But anyway, let's get to these polling numbers.
Yeah, Joe, let's get into it. And for those of our listeners who may not be as into Iowa as you are, this is the Seltzer poll. It's Ann Seltzer. Like you've said before,
it's the Bible.
The Bible in Iowa. It's with the Des Moines Register. And this one usually kind of nails the situation. And what kind of had us perking up was a very tight race with Grassley, as you mentioned, right?
Yeah, no, well, first of all, it is considered the Bible of polls in Iowa. I mean, look, this is a place where every 4 years, every pollster in the country goes at it and, you know, tries to figure out if it's going to be Romney or Santorum or you know, Obama or Clinton, whatever. And the one poll that's been the most consistent and considered the one that you know, when it comes out, everybody stands up and pays attention is the Seltzer poll for the Des Moines Register. And, you know, the last poll had Grassley up by 8 points, 47 to 39. And the first time I saw that, you know, I thought, geez, there's an incumbent under 50. And look, there's one thing to be an incumbent at 49. I mean, come on, you know, with undecideds right out there. But when you start dropping down into the mid 40s, like 47, it signals that, like I've said in the past, that a lot of the undecideds are pretty much decided, that they don't really want to come home to you. So that's 47-39. Well, the one that just came out a few days ago has Grassley up still, but he's only up 46-43. That's 3 points, not eight. It's 46, not 47. And Franken is banging on the door. So that was fascinating. That's sort of what started making me think, hey, and actually Doug Jones and I started talking about this, and he was the one who said he was going to go out and see what he could help do. And then I decided to come out a day ahead and knock on doors and stuff. But that's what got sort of attention. And then when you look deeper in the poll, though, it's what's going on with independents. They're starting to break to Franken. Franken is up with independents 46 to 35 in this new poll, the new Seltzer poll. 46-3. I mean, that's 11 points on a incumbent who's been here forever. So independents doing that, and Franken still has room to grow because his fave unfave is above water, 36-27. But, you know, you still have a lot of people who don't know who he, I mean, that's obviously in the, you know, only 63% are rating him. So he's got, I mean, that's both a positive and a problem. The positive is that as more voters get to know him, if you're already right on the incumbent's heels, some of those are going to be favorable and you could go blowing by. The other side of that is people don't know, yet there's still almost a third of the electorate that doesn't know him. And the attacks that Grassley is launching against him, that's the way more people who don't know him get to know him, and Grassley can hold on. So this is going to be a fight, I think, down to the right down to election day. So it's going to go down to the wire, and turnout is really going to matter. But what's worse, when you even look further under the hood, is he's got record high, and I'm talking about Grassley here, record high job disapproval. He has record high unfavorables. Okay, he's got a 47 favorable, a 46 unfavorable. Remember, his vote is 46. It's very hard for an incumbent to get more votes than they're favorable. So he's been.
Why is that?
Because you've been around all this. Again, it goes back to, look, unlike Franken with the 36-27 and 30-something percent don't know any, you know, can't rate him, you got a guy at 47, 46. That's, you know, 93. 93% have a pretty strong opinion about him. And it's pretty much 50-50, you know, 47-46. There's just not a whole lot of room to grow. You got to get unfavorable voters to vote for you. And usually when that happens, the way an incumbent wins when that happens is making his challengers' unfavorables higher. That's why you get these negative fights, all-out fights, is because, okay, my negative's so high, I'm barely able to I'm barely in it. And the only way out of that fight is to totally, you know, destroy my opponent's favorability. And so he's got to drive Franken's unfavorability above his. Well, Franken's unfavorable is 27 right now. It's got 19 points he's got to drive just to get it in the sort of parity with himself. Grassley does. So when you start looking at this, by the way, does not mean he can't eke this thing out. He can, but it probably means, and I'm seeing this on TV, that he's going after Franken for saying Biden's doing a good job. And then he goes into all the stuff that the left wing agenda that Biden is destroying America with and ties Franken to that. And so that's what they're going to try to do here. But the other thing is that almost 2/3 of voters in Iowa think Grassley's age, he's 89, is a concern. So what
you got here.
Yeah,
I'm glad you got there. This was a crazy number.
Yeah, so when you get to 2/3, you got 47 favorable, 46 unfavorable. Your vote's at 46. And 2/3 of the people that are voting think that your age is a major concern to them, and why they're looking across the aisle at Franken, like I said, is still net positive on his favorable, 11 points more positive than negative. And he's winning independents 46-35. That's what I'm saying. How is Grassley going to get back to even with independents? The only way is to nuke Franken. I mean, that's not going to be, after you're 89 years old, you've been around forever. What new thing are you going to tell people? Makes you, oh, yeah, right. I was wrong. I approve of you now. So that's not going to happen.
Well, the interesting thing with independents, though, and before we move on, is I was by registration a really interesting state. And I think the independent number is so important because I think, Joe, it's something almost like a third, or Iowa actually might have more independent or unaffiliated registrants. That is not normal for a state. Whereas, like, you look at a Pennsylvania, there might be 10% unaffiliated by registration. And in Iowa, it's closer to 40, maybe 38. So this is a huge chunk of voters.
Well, I think both parties' presidential campaigns have caused that. The only way, look, if 18 people are going to come in here and run as Republicans for the nomination and 16 Democrats are going to do it, and your phone's going to go off the hook for a whole 2 years. A lot of people, I've sort of thought this from the beginning, it's like, screw this, I'm an independent. But so, because you avoid all that, right? Or at least you hope you can. But yeah, no, it's a very independent place. And one of the things that you look at some of these, like, you know, in that poll, it was a great quote. When he was younger and first started out in government, he was good, this independent voter said. He really was. He was very sincere about being for the people. And now he will do whatever the Republican Party tells him to do. And that's not right, unquote. And that's an independent voter. That's how Franken is doing this 47, is winning that independent vote 46-35. And so he's actually, that's what I'm saying. You watch the messaging. He's the one guy that's sort of standing out as sort of an independent message amidst all the, the leftist radical agenda is coming, or they're too extreme on abortion stuff. He's really, and I think that does go to him being an admiral, his past service to the country is certainly a help there too. But Grassley is now, I think, losing those independents because of probably a lot of the partisan stuff he did with Trump, et cetera, is at least causing him pain with these independents, and his age, I think, too, is a problem. You know, the House races, by the way, and I want to get to those. There are two House races that are real possibilities for Democrats here. I mean, there's two that are, I don't think, as competitive. But District 2 in Northeast Iowa has likewise had a big shift in the Democratic direction. It was in July, the Republican Ashley Henson, incumbent representative in the House, was leading by 10 points over Democratic State Senator Liz Mathis. Now, Mathis is up by 2. It's now 48-46. So there's been a 12-point shift there. That would be a pickup if that actually holds. So, hey, folks, if you're in Northeast Iowa if you're in Northeast Iowa, start working for Mathis and help her get across the the finish line up there, because that one is going to be a nail biter. But two, if you're out there and can send Mathis some help here in the final weeks, please do it. The other one, this is where I was walking in Clive, Iowa yesterday, knocking on doors. Very, very, very tight race. 49-48, the latest poll, has Democrat incumbent Cindy Axne is, you know, 1 point ahead over Republican State Senator Zach Nunn. You know, but the movement here over since July has been in the Republican direction, in Zach Nunn's direction. Cindy Axne was up by like 3 points, I think, back in July, Alex. And
I think that's right.
And yeah. She's
same poll.
Yeah, same poll. So apples to apples on the polls. That one was close in July, 3 points. It's now close by 1 point.
Which is not surprising.
No, yeah. it things close at the end here, but that one is one that's an incumbent. We don't want that one to flip over. If we can hold that one and pick up the second district, I mean, that would be a major step in holding the House. I mean, at least we need something like that to happen in a place like Iowa. For us, those are the kinds of races that I'm looking at when I start talking about, do we hold the House by two or three, or do we lose it by, you know, by 10, 8, 12, somewhere in there. And so, you know, this will be one of the races. These two races are going to be significant in how that plays out. The other two districts are fairly safe Republican. You know, District 1, likely Republican. I think the last poll there had the Republican candidate up 50-41 over the Democrat. And District 4, that's like super red GOP.
Like 30 points.
Yeah, it's like 62-33 there. So, but like I said, District 3, Cindy Axne, it's Des Moines, pieces of Des Moines, and going up that way. It's a tight race, and we got to hold that one, so help there. And District 2, Northeast Iowa, State Senator Liz Mathis, Democrat, could use your help. Both of those tight, and indications like, look, if we can pull those two out. And by the way, you know, a lot of the issues are working. I mean, I'm, you know, with Axne, it's clear as I was going, you know, door to door, that a lot of the women that I was talking to at the doors were very concerned about the, you know, about the ban on abortion and how far they see the Republican Party in terms of impacting their rights. So there's reason to think, and there was a lot of energy with volunteers. In fact, I was the only guy. It was just a bunch. A bunch of really incredibly energized women who were going door to door and in the training, and I just realized that as I was sitting there, that was the only guy in the room. And Brittany, I wish I'd had her last name because I'd give her a big shout out on the podcast. She was just amazing in terms of training the volunteers and sending them out. And what I learned is interesting. In the training, they talk about, when you're engaging with somebody who's a Democrat who says they're going to, you know, vote, who says they're leaning Democrat in terms of voting, or going to vote for Cindy Axne or Franken or any, you know, this could be anywhere in the country, that when you, there's now lots of evidence that when you ask them whether they have a plan on how they're going to vote, and then start discussing with them whether they plan on voting early or voting on election day, or do they have a plan, that the very act of asking that question starts them to think about it. And actually now there's evidence that that question alone has a hell of a lot to do with whether somebody actually shows up and votes or not. In other words, it's like, yeah, I'm for Cindy Axne, I like her. Are you going to vote? Oh, I don't know. Do you have a plan? Once you start talking about the plan, then they actually, there's a chance that they will, long after you left that door or ended the conversation, they will actually, that triggers them thinking about, maybe I should think about voting. And so Brittany was really, it was really cool having her like walk through these different things, having not been doing door knocking for, like I said, I haven't, I've been making ads and doing things. I hadn't, and even coming up as an organizer, I hadn't been realized. When was the last time I was knocking on doors? It was like, you know, maybe no, I don't think 2020 even. I was stuck in studios and stuff with you. But anyway, it was pretty instructive. It was really interesting to see these people, how energized they are. They're working in a tight race in District 3 for Cindy Axne. And that's an incumbent we got to keep. And up in North, now I think I'm headed up into the Northeast Iowa thing with Jones potentially on Wednesday. So I'm interested in seeing how that race is going. But right now the polling is great, up by 2 points, close 12 points since July. So that's, again, Democratic State Senator Liz Matthes.
So, Joe, while we were recording this, a new CNN poll just dropped nationally. I'm going to read you some top lines. I know we're getting out of Iowa here, unless you had anything
sure.
else
no,
to
no.
talk about your trip. But anything stand out to you in the following? So CNN just did a national poll, but they focused on Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. The interesting thing here is they have Fetterman up 6 on Oz. He's over 50. He's at 51. Shapiro up 11 on Mastriano, 55-44, which seems to track with a lot of what we've been hearing, we've been seeing. But Fetterman over 51 has to be a pretty positive sign, right?
Yeah, that'd be a big thing if that poll it would right now be considered an outlier, I would think. It's got to be the first poll that's shown Fetterman over 50. And I think even though there are several polls that show 5 or 6 points up, I think definitely, 40s. Yeah. So that's significant.
Wisconsin's really interesting. I know we've been spending a lot of time working there, but this has Ron Johnson up 50-49, which is very, very close on Mandela Barnes for the Senate seat. But then incumbent Democratic Governor Evers is up 2 on Michaels, so 50-48. So that's a split I could see happening, unfortunately, but also shows that I think that's a race where we got to put our heads down because there's a shot we could win both those seats.
Yeah, well, both of those are the same number. I mean, that's when you get those kind of numbers. I mean, come on, they're like any one of those numbers could be 2 points the other way. I mean, it's just the way it is. So yeah, those are two dead heat races, and every single call, every single door knock. You know, when you're at this point in these races, as something Brittany was talking to us about yesterday, was they actually now know and can show conclusively that if you knock on 140 doors urging people that have said they're for you to vote, that you create six people who actually weren't going to vote but will vote now. So, you know, it's not hard to figure out. If 100 of us go out and knock on 100 doors, you know, that's what I'm saying. When you're getting in these places where it's this close, it's going to make a difference, folks. So get out there in Wisconsin, get out there in Ohio, get out there in Pennsylvania. Maybe you can only do 50 doors, fine. But it's like, we go out and we create a higher turnout every time when you're at this stage in particular, when they're you know, the one thing about yesterday, and if you're apprehensive about going door to door and, and all that, I understand it. I got over that pretty early, but I understand it. And if you're apprehensive about it, the one difference is that no one's doing persuasion right now. I mean, you're not being sent to, you know, to doors of undecideds to convince them to vote for a candidate. Right now, like yesterday, these were all people who said that they leaned or were going to vote for the candidate. And you're going out just to remind them to vote, ask them if they have a plan. Do they need any, what can you do to make sure that they vote? And in that context, if you contact, 140 people, Brittany was saying, look, we've got data now that over the years that shows that 6 of those people actually are folks that you helped convince go. So don't let anybody tell you that what you're doing today isn't important. Well, that made me feel pretty good when I was out there knocking on doors and trying to figure out, did I get to 140 yet? But it matters. That's what I'm saying. And so, like, particularly in the, when you look at that CNN number in Wisconsin in both of those races, if 100 people in Wisconsin decide to get up and this weekend go knock on doors, that's going to, if that's 600 more people that are going to vote because of what you all did, that literally can decide this stuff at this point in some of these races. Certainly going to be true in and Cindy Axne's race here in the third district.
Joe, I know you're fired up about Iowa, but we are just about out of time today, my friend.
No, it's great. And that CNN poll is pretty encouraging. So much for the red wave, the new red wave that was coming, according to
this is, I think, to the whatever. Fifth or sixth red wave in the last six
red
weeks.
Red wave that's coming, yeah. Anyway, well, we'll see. I'm still sticking with the Democrats holding the Senate, maybe gaining one or two. And I'm still sticking to, you know, a chance, a very slim, but a chance to hold the House. But it's not going to be 20 or 30 seats like these guys are saying. The real thing, don't let up. Don't give a damn about what they're saying about the red wave. If you got to, use that to make you go out and work that much harder. Thanks, everyone, for listening to That Trippy Show. We'll be back on Friday with our usual episode. Please subscribe to That Trippy Show and leave a review on Apple or wherever you listen. You can always send us a question to thattrippyshow@gmail.com or leave us a question in the review on iTunes. And special thanks to our special guest today, me. See you next time. Thanks, everybody.